Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Today we're going to be talking about the power of mind in a different perspective than perhaps you have experienced yourself. It is a perspective that relates directly to healing, energy healing, but the modality in which it is expressed has its own uniqueness. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. My guest is Josie Ravenwing. The book that she has written is called The Book of Miracles, The Healing Work of John of God. Josie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I really appreciate you inviting me today.
Well, I'll tell you what is so amazing to me. And I don't even remember how I found out about your book, but I do know that somehow or another, someone said, you've got to find out about Josie. And then they talked about John of God. Somehow or another, this came up in conversation. And I said, all right, I'm very interested. And I'll tell you why I was interested. When I was a little girl, I remember reading an article in a major publication about a man in Brazil who was a phenomenal healer. People from all over the world would go to a little village in Brazil where this man, Arrigo, would do surgeries of the eye with a rusty penknife. Mm-hmm. And scientists went there, they filmed him, there's all kinds of wonderful experiences that were recorded. And I don't remember when this was. I don't know if it was in the 60s. I don't remember when Arrigo passed away.
I think it was in the 50s.
Was it back in the 50s?
Or 40s,
Well, I don't remember. But I remember reading about his story when I was just a little girl in a major publication, and I thought, wow, this is phenomenal. Well, I was thrilled to find out, as I was going through your book, that John trained under Arrigo along with some other people. And he knew Arrigo before Arrigo died. And it was, your book is just absolutely fascinating. So for me, when I found this correlation, I thought, this is really, really something. And it meant a lot to me because I thought, gee, this is terrific, because one of these people that was so gifted passed along his wisdom to someone else who is still working. Gee, how long has John been doing this healing work? He's been doing this for 40 years, hasn't he?
Actually, he's been doing it for over 50 years, and I do need to correct something. I don't know quite how you got that impression in my book, but he did not train under Arrigo.
Then that's my error.
Yeah, his life was separate, but they do very similar work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now, when I got the book, I was really very interested in how you got started with this, because you were involved in dance therapy, various types of holistic healing, and you also have worked as a psychotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this background that's very westernized in its base, and here you are becoming in association with John of God, who is known for his tremendous healing talents, and there is a facility that has evolved through the years that people from around the world go to, and you, in fact, take people there on trips from Texas, I believe you leave, then go down to Brazil.
Actually, I'm based out of Florida, but I take people from all over the world there.
Mm-hmm. Do you leave from Texas, though?
No. I don't.
Oh, you take it actually from Florida. Then that's
well,
something.
People make their own airline reservations, and then I meet them in Brazil because they're coming from everywhere, Europe, India, Africa, the U.S., Canada. So they make their own reservations, and we coordinate. I get everything organized, and we meet on the same day in Brazil.
In your book, you have a statement. You say, I myself am just a simple tailor from the interior of Brazil. I'm just a person with karmic debts, just like the rest of you, and 3 days a week I'm a prisoner of this energy from God. This work will continue so long as I do not charge for it. If the day came when I ever charged for this work, it would mean that I'm not in an entity, as he describes it. This is what John is saying. And yes, people pay for herbs because there are herbs that are used to assist people in the healing process. But this is quite an interesting man. Give us a little bit of your history as far as how you became acquainted with him.
Okay. Well, you're correct in that some of my background was indeed very much Western background. And in fact, my father was a microbiologist and a researcher and a university professor. So I have definitely a scientific and Western background in that sense. But on the other hand, I was always kind of the mystical child of the family. And although I did go for a Western education and did practice as a psychotherapist for some time, I was always interested in the whole person, including the spiritual side. And so I actually created the first master's program in holistic health in the U.S. At Antioch University in Seattle. And I taught there for a year. It was a very exciting time. And the reason I did that was because, I did a lot of pioneering work in dance therapy. I took my psychology master's degree. But I also saw that there was much more to who we were. So while I was giving this Western training, I was also researching and then studying with different shamans and medicine men and women of indigenous peoples, learning energy work, energy healing, a lot of different things. And that's part of what went into my coming up with this holistic health program idea. So for years, I worked with various spiritual teachers and healers from many, many cross-cultural traditions. And then began teaching workshops in various subjects that I put together from distilling the best of the information from the different paths I was studying. So this went on for decades. I taught all over the U.S. and Europe and other places, South Africa. And then at a certain point, I was always looking for more spiritual and healing resources, did healing myself at that point, and someone handed me a little article about John of God back in 1998, and I was so intrigued by what it was saying that I decided I had to go see if even what a tiny bit of what was being said in this article was true of him. And so it was not easy at that time to find him because the town he lived in wasn't even on any maps yet, but I finally located it, bought my ticket, and just had a sense that everything would turn out fine, which it always does. So I went to his healing center, spent 2 weeks there the first time, and as you probably gathered from my book, I had so many amazing experiences. And the whole time I was there, besides in the vernacular having my mind blown over and over again, I kept thinking about all of my different students and clients that I wish knew about this place. And so on my last day there, I went and I thanked John of God for everything that I'd experienced. And he looked at me and his eyes kind of went back in his head and then came back and focused on me a minute later and said, "My daughter, I've just seen into your future, and a big part of your mission is going to be to start letting people from outside of Brazil know about this place and to start bringing them here." Because at that time, I was one of the very few non-Brazilians who had ever been there. So I went, yes, because it was totally in alignment with what I was wanting to do. So ever since then, I went back. I learned Portuguese. I spent about 3 months there so that I could learn everything possible about how things work there. And then I started taking groups, and I just came back from taking group number 101 since 1998. So
wow.
It's become a huge, huge part of my life.
Oh, absolutely. That was very obvious from the material that you have in your book. Now, for those of you listening, it's called The Book of Miracles. Now, Josie,
yes.
Give us a little background on John.
Okay.
Because he reminded me of Arrigo. He didn't stand up and say, okay, sock it to me. I mean, this was something that evolved for him. He came in with this job. This is his job to do.
Well, basically, that's true. He says it's his mission in this life. So what happened, and a little bit about him, is that he grew up in rural Brazil in a small town. His family was Catholic, very, very poor. He was born in the early 1940s. And apparently, since a very young age, like a few years old, it was noticed that he had psychic abilities. And he made several predictions over his youth that came true and saved lives of other people who lived in the town. So he came in with a very strong psychic and spiritual energy and very independent spirit. He couldn't managed to stay in school, so he never even completed first grade. He was just too strong, too independent. And so he quit school at first grade, and from that point on, he would do what he could to help support his family. He would look for work, he would look for food, wandered all over, and one day when he was pre-adolescent, somewhere around 11 or 12, he was again looking for some work or food, and it was very hot that day, and he was wandering by a river, and suddenly he heard his name being called, which in Portuguese is João. His family name is João Teixeira da Faria, and we call him in Portuguese João de Deus now, which is John of God in English. So João was wandering by this river. He heard this woman's voice, turned around, and there was this beautiful, kind of luminous woman standing there. And she told him that it was time for him to begin his mission and that he should go to this nearby spiritual center. And then she kind of disappeared, and he didn't really know what to make of it, so he kept wandering by the river and then heard his name again and turned around. And this time, instead of a woman's figure, there was a big ball of white light. And from that ball of white light came her voice again saying, "You must go to the spiritual center. They are waiting for you. It's time to begin your mission." So this time he figured he better pay attention. And later he discovered that the beautiful woman spirit was Santa Rita de Cássia, Saint Rita of Cássia, who is the Brazilian patron saint of miracles and good fortune, which became very appropriate for what John's mission was meant to be. So he went to the center. He knocked on the door. And that was the last thing he remembered until about 3 or 4 hours later when he came to. He was on the ground, and people were standing around him, weeping and carrying on. And he said, don't worry, I haven't eaten for a few days, and I probably just fainted, and I'll be fine. And they said, no, you don't understand. For the last few hours, you've been doing miracles of healing for us. And so they were trying to press gifts on him, like a gold expensive watch and other things. And he thought that he had stumbled into a group of crazy people because he had no memory of anything. But the director of the center said, come come inside, we'll give you a meal, and you can spend the night here. And so John thought, well, okay, I'll put some food in my belly, and I'll get a good night's sleep, and tomorrow I'll leave and try and sell this expensive watch and see if I can get some money to feed my family for a while. So he ate, he slept. The next morning he was getting ready to leave, and the director came up to him and said, if you would just wait a minute, and excuse me a second. And he took John into the main hall of the center where hundreds of people were gathered. And the director said to everybody, I want to introduce to you the young medium, Juan Gideus, or Juan Teixeira da Faria. He came to us yesterday, knocked on our door, and he went into trance and became embodied or incorporated by the spirit of King Solomon, who spoke through him and introduced himself and then proceeded to do miracles of healing for those of us who were present. And before King Solomon left Sean's body, he said, please let everybody in the area know that tomorrow I will come through Juan again and offer healing for anybody who needs it. So that is why you are all gathered here. So meanwhile, Juan is sitting there just not knowing what to make of any of this. And then they began to pray, and because Brazilian is mainly Catholic, they open all spiritual and healing meetings and work with the Lord's Prayer and the Hail Mary. So they began to say these prayers, and this time as they were praying, João realized that he was starting to feel a little bit dizzy, and this time he became aware of his spirit or consciousness beginning to float out of his body, and as he describes it, and this still happens to him when he goes into trance, he said it was like being taken to a realm of beautiful, warm, golden light where I have a wonderful nap. And then at a certain point, he felt a pull bringing him back into his body and regained consciousness, and this time it had been something like 5 or 6 hours or more later, and now hundreds of people were thanking him for the healing. So now he's thinking, well, maybe this something is happening after all. So fortunately for him, the center where he had been directed to was a spiritist center, and spiritism is the prevalent metaphysical path in Brazil. And mm-hmm. It has all to do with mediumship and what happens to the human spirit when it leaves the body, past lives, reincarnation, that kind of thing. So they were able to help Schwam because basically what happened was he had a spontaneous initiation as a full trance medium healer. And he really had no preparation for it, at least in any logical linear sense. And so, I mean, can you imagine that you're conscious 1 minute and then 6 hours later you're back again with no memory of what happened, you know? So it was very disconcerting for this young boy. And so these spiritists were able to kind of take him under their wing and explain and describe to him what was happening, what mediumship is about, and help him truly prepare for his mission. And after a few months, he began wandering all over Brazil, and everywhere he went, he made himself available as a medium, and people would flock to him. And it may sound glamorous to us Americans, because we all get starry-eyed, you know, about things like that, but it was extremely difficult for him. He would go to a town, he would do the healing work, people would hear about him, then the word would get out, and the local doctors would accuse him of practicing medicine without a license, the local priest would get suspicious that he was practicing witchcraft, and then they would get the police involved, and frequently the police would then jail him and or beat him up, or, you know, and then finally run him out of town. And it was very, very hard for him, but he just continued. And he was a tailor for a while with the military. They took him under their wing and protected him because at a certain point, because by then he had healed many military people. And finally he got word from his spiritual mentor, Chico Xavier, who was probably the most famous Brazilian medium of channeled information. He channeled like about 600 books in his lifetime. And he told Juan that he had received a channeled message that Juan was to stop traveling all over and to set up a permanent healing site in this little town in the state where he actually had grown up, not terribly far from there. And so that was 35 years ago. He did that, and millions of people have flocked first from all over Brazil there, and then since I went in 1998 and started doing a lot of educational presentations about João's work, John of God's work, here in the U.S. and in other countries, got my book out about him, and started taking people there, he's become more and more well-known. And then in November of the year 2010, there was a show that Oprah did about him and actually also featured an article about him in her O magazine. And then the word went out even more around the world. So every week, thousands and thousands of people each day or each week flock there. Some of them are Brazilians and some of them are foreigners, and it's really an amazing little international community in this small town. So that's a brief
The Brazilians
summary.
Are a fascinating people because spiritism has been a very, very strong part of their culture, even before Catholicism was forced upon them so many generations ago. And they've incorporated and they've adapted things, as so many cultures do, depending on what's going on in their environment. And they have, they just have a real understanding of this. And I just found the parallels between him and Arrigo were just absolutely amazing. And I was so pleased to hear about this other healer, also Chico, that had been working there as well. But the fact is that there's so much information that you describe in your book about what you have learned by being there and the energies that come through that work in this healing capacity through John of God, and also how so many of the people that are affiliated, including yourself, have found that your own healing capacities and abilities have increased because of this. You mentioned something about doing a meditation with a triangulation of light. What is this, and how does this assist you?
Well, it's very interesting because of my own interest in healing as well as spirituality, when I first started going there, there are different rooms that are a part of the work there that they call current rooms because they have a very strong current of spiritual energy present. And so I would sit in meditation there and in prayer, and I would ask the spiritual beings, King Solomon, and then since then many others who now work through John of God, if they would help me learn to be a more effective healer myself. And so they would show me different things and tell me different things. And in the situation that you're talking about, I was sitting there one day and I saw a like you say, a triangulation of balls of light, and I was being shown to work with a ball of white light over my head and a ball of gold light in one hand and lavender colored light in the or the CASA, as it's called, or here back in the U.S. On my own, that was one way that I could pull in a very strong, pure energy. So I've explored that, and my understanding is that the white light over my head gives me a very pure access to spirit, and then the violet-colored light is really excellent for doing spiritual cleansing of people.
Mm-hmm. It,
that particular frequency of color helps transmute heavier, dense energies into a lighter vibration, and it also helps cleanse away things that are not needed in people's energy field that might be, you know, in the way of their spiritual progress or health. And then the gold light is to help infuse them after the cleansing with new, vibrant, and vital energy that they can use for their healing. So I do work with that both there and when I see individuals here or work with groups here. And that's just one of many things that I've found that has been very helpful. I do want to say that before, as I mentioned earlier, before I ever went to John of God, I was quite fortunate that I was able to study with many wonderful spiritual teachers and healers. And I learned a lot of different methodologies from them over the years, many of which I've used over time. But the one thing that I got at the CASA that was different than I learned anywhere else was the essential quality of the power of love. My experience at the CASA and since then in the work that I do is that love is really the most powerful healing medicine that exists, and that we each carry it with us, and it's also constantly being transmitted to us from whatever you want to call that power, God or source or creator or higher power or whatever, or great spirit. And that a big part of our problem is that we block ourselves for many reasons from experiencing that love, that pure unconditional love. A lot of us carry a lot of emotional baggage with us from the past, whether it's fear or shame or guilt or anger, jealousy, all those kinds of things. And many of us have felt judged as we were growing up, and then judge ourselves and judge others. And all of that, it doesn't stop the flow of love because that's always there, but it keeps us from experiencing it. And then over time, our vibration begins to drop lower and lower, and the stress of our lives, because we're not connecting with that love, gets greater and greater until over time, often illnesses will manifest finally in the physical body, or we'll get into accidents, or different things will happen that are a reflection of our disconnection from that love. And so the work that John of God does, and the beautiful spirits that work through him, and my own thousands of hours, I think, at this point, of meditation in the current rooms there, have taught me a lot about love. And I don't mean to say that I myself am constantly in that flow. I mean, I'm in the flow, but I'm not always recognizing it, just like everybody else. But I have seen its importance more and more, and I feel I'm embodying it as much as I can, and will continue to do more and more of that. And when I'm in that place, the healing work that I'm able to open to is really wonderful, and many people have experienced it and told me or emailed me afterwards, and sustain me. And I really don't feel like I'm doing too much except for placing myself there and having an intent to be open to the highest power of healing that can move through me for to help people. And I think
Josie,
that, yes.
Your book, I know we're just about out of time here. It's called The Book of Miracles, The Healing Work of John of God. But you also have a fabulous CD, and I'm going to mention this. There is this CD that she's put together, a meditation for the crystal cave, or to the crystal cave. It's a healing meditation, and it is really beautiful. I know we're out of time. I want to be sure that we give out your website, johnofgod-brazil.net, johnofgod-brazil.net, and you can find out more information about this. I feel like this is good information to be aware of. I know that in the Western world, so often it's difficult to understand this, but we have so many people that are involved in healing, and there's various modalities. I think when we can look about people or look at people of different cultures, different backgrounds, John's been doing this work for well over 40 years. This is something that is meant to empower you, not meant to give you woo-woo special, but really meant to help you understand that there's a lot going on in life that if we are willing to explore it, who knows, it may be able to empower us in a way that we would never have expected. So check out Josie's website, johnofgod-brazil.net. Josie Ravenwing, it has been a delight. I know people can find out about your book. They can email you. They can find out about these wonderful journeys that you take. And I'm so grateful for your being on the air with me today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna. It's been a pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Don't forget johnofgod-brazil.net. We'll be right back.
It's time to get your glow on. March 2nd through 4th at the Northwest Women's Show, a show that's all about you. 400 exhibits, 5 entertainment stages, over 60 seminars, and best of all, shopping. New this year are special theme days with prizes. On Fitness Friday, wear your tennis shoes. Then stay for Girls Night Out from 5 till 8, packed with wild and crazy fun. The Fashion Police will be there on Stylin' Saturday. And let your glow shine on Spirit Sunday. Meet actress and author Linda Evans, Dave from Dave's Killer Bread and his rockin' band, and Hollywood numerologist Glynis McCants, plus fashion shows from JCPenney, favorite authors Anne and Leslie Rule, and back for all 3 days, Seattle's hottest firefighters. Northwest Women's Show, sponsored by Safeway, BECU, Constant Contact, and Como TV, at CenturyLink Event Center, March 2nd through 4th. The Northwest Women's Show, it's such a girl thing. Learn more at nwwomenshow.com.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30, and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, and if you would like to chat with me, I would be delighted. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. After that, just sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that may be important to you. Quick like a bunny, I do want to thank the people at the East West Bookstore in Seattle. We had a wonderful class on Saturday evening. I've been invited back, so I probably will be doing another class with them or at their facility, and this is their facility on Roosevelt in Seattle. It was just great. We had a wonderful group of people. I just so appreciate them coming out because there was snow coming down in Seattle, and people were saying, I don't think I want to be out there. But there were those brave souls that said, uh-uh, nothing stops me. I'm a hardy Northwesterner. And so they were out there, as I was, and it was just really, really great. And let's see. I don't know if I heard a buzz or not. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, do we have a caller? Nope, we don't. Okay. I thought I heard something in the background. Not a problem. Okay, let me let those of you know that are in the Pacific Northwest, of course, the Pacific Northwest Women's Show is coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I always love this event, and I'll tell you why it's so special. One, I get a chance to showcase people. I'm going to be in booth number 407, but I am going to be showcasing five phenomenal people. Yes, we do have a caller. I'll tell you more about this afterwards. Let's go to our caller. Thank you for waiting. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. It's Pat from Connecticut.
Well, hi, Pat. What's the weather like in Connecticut? We've got sunshine after snow flurries. Now
oh,
we've got sunshine.
We're finally getting some winter. We had rain almost all winter. Yeah,
really?
There's a little snow left on the ground, and it's now a cold patch, but I think we'll go into spring pretty quickly.
Oh, my
heavens. Very
mild winter
here.
That is amazing. We just have
right,
all kinds. I swear Mother Nature has PMS this year. I really do. I mean, I think she needs a big dose of chocolate. Lots of dark chocolate.
Yeah, the spring flowers here are confused. They're starting to come up. They started to come up about 2-3 weeks ago, so we've been worried about that, but I think they'll survive.
Well, our crocus have come up here. We have a lot
of
flowers that are the buds out on the trees for all of our intense weather that we've had. Freezing temperatures like last night. I mean, all of this going on, and here are these hardy little crocus saying, well, the sun came out in the Pacific Northwest. It has to be spring. So they're blooming their little hearts out.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, let's get down to business with you, Pat. First thing that I am looking at is a real drive that is coming into your energy cycle. And when I'm watching this, I'm intrigued because this is stimulated by a particular observation you're going to make, and you're saying, I cannot stand down and not be actively participating in what I want to see demonstrated. So I think you, by the time June the 6th or the 16th comes, you are going to find yourself very actively involved in some kind of a public environment of working activity. And you're going to enjoy it because it's going to challenge you. It's going to enable you to put yourself into what I feel the opportune positioning of being able to use skills and talents that you haven't really been using very much, but they're talents that you know can serve certain situations very well, and so you're going to be busy. And I think your whole life is shifting quite dramatically between, I'd say, now and the end of June. And your whole patterning in your life on a professional level is going to be taking a much stronger positioning in your everyday environment. And this, I think, is very good. One, it's going to also increase your social interaction with people. But two, it's going to allow you to blossom and to really feel like you're stretching yourself into the talents that you have long wanted to utilize. So I like what I'm looking at here. I feel that this is just, it's a very opportune time. So this drive that I'm looking at, I think it's coming in with spring, and there's just this sense of almost like excitement and anticipation, excitement. And it's like I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. And it's just the timing factor, but everything's going to fall perfectly into place. What's on your mind today? What would you like to ask me?
That's absolutely wonderful, Donna. I really, a couple of years ago, started to change myself, to change my life, and this is a wonderful outcome, what you're saying. I have just been diagnosed with arsenic poisoning, and
ooh,
my wonderful nutritionist will help me with it. But I would like to know the source, if you can see. And I have a few ideas, perhaps where I used to live. I just moved, but I was in
now,
a converted
Now, did you have
garage.
A well where you used to live?
No, I didn't.
There's something with water. Now, this
right.
is not something where anybody's pouring arsenic into the water table. I think this is something that's being leached naturally from the environment. That's something a lot of people are not typically aware of. But I,
right.
there are environments, natural environments. It has nothing to do with anything anybody's done. And mm-hmm. when they are associated with water, the water, because water is very caustic. People don't realize how caustic it can be. And it will literally leach the arsenic out of its own natural environment, bringing it into the water table.
Hmm. Well,
so I would suggest that you find it does have something to do where you were with where you were living previously. I would suggest that you make sure that you have the blood test on this to find out.
I had the urine test.
Yeah, well, you need to have some blood tests done too, and let's find out how strong it is in your system, because it can have a debilitating effect on your internal organs, and so you want to be able to assist your organs with whatever is necessary.
My score was over the top, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
And why
really
do you say I need blood?
Blood tests.
Right.
Yes, you need some blood testing as well.
And why do you say that as well?
Because you've got to find out what is going on in the body. The urine
okay.
test is not enough. Not that it's not valid, but it's not enough.
Okay.
You've got to find out more particular.
All right. And do you see it happening here in my new place as well?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I do think it has something to do with the water. And I think it has something to do with a natural aspect of the environment. And some, not a lot of people are aware of that.
I know the research, I'm learning that. It's actually fairly common. I
mm-hmm.
also lived right by a lake, a water company lake. Do you think that has something to do with it?
There's something associated with water, period.
Okay.
So
okay.
this could be, they could have, let's say there's a purification process they use or whatever, and it may be, they may be totally fine in what they're doing. But there may be
mm-hmm.
something naturally in the
right.
environment that's being leached out by the water itself.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much, and thank you for your reading. That was wonderful. And also your show on the healers is wonderful, too. I looked him up. He's got a beautiful face.
Well, I'll tell you, I know in her book she does reference how he was taken under the wing of Arrigo. And let me just give you a little bit of background. I mentioned before we got into the interview how I, when I was a child, had read about Arrigo of Brazil. And this was a guy that was a postal worker, strong Catholic, lived in this little tiny town. And he kept having experiences over the years. He'd go to the priest, they'd say, well, you're possessed or the devil's got you. Nobody knew what was going on. And he finally became aware of the fact that there was an energy that was trying to come through him. And he began to, because it wasn't bad, it was good. And he found out that this was a Dr. Fritz. Now, like John of God, Arrigo had no knowledge of this at all. He had no memory of anything that was done. He was a postal worker and just had a very simple life, had a wonderful wife, they had a fine family, and when this became a part of his life, and he really fought it for a long time because there was no one around to tell him what was happening to him, and mm-hmm. when he finally found out what was going on, there was this small building, and he would just have a curtain that he would step behind. When he stepped away from the curtain, and this was makeshift, this is nothing fancy, and he just stepped out, he was Dr. Fritz. And Dr. Fritz...
Wow.
The reason the book is called Arrigo, the Surgeon with a Rusty Knife, is because he had this penknife, and it actually was rusty. This thing wasn't even sanitized. He didn't boil it. He didn't do anything to it. He would take a person, put them up against a wall, jab this knife into their eye, do whatever was necessary because a huge amount of surgeries were done for cataracts. Now, the word of mouth after a few years of him doing this was just phenomenal. But he would use that little knife in all kinds of situations. And the thing that was noted, number one, no blood. Number two, no one ever got an infection. Number three, people somehow were put into an altered state, and they were fully conscious, no pain. And there were some American scientists that went over. This is all documented. They went over to watch him work. He said, certainly. They set up the cameras. They had all of this. Now, you can imagine in this small little town all of that paraphernalia. And again, I don't know if it was the 50s or the 60s, but regardless, they set it up and they documented it. Now, what is very interesting about the whole thing, oh, can you stay on the line? And when I come back, I'll tell you the rest.
Okay.
All right. I'll be right back, and I'll finish my story about Arrigo that I'm sharing with Pat and you, and we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Pat, are you still with me?
I am. This story is wonderful.
Well, let me tell you what happened when they were filming and documenting all of these things that were going on with Arrigo. And if ever you get the book, it's just mind-boggling. The book is just absolutely amazing because it was professional researchers that wrote the book. Well, one of the cameramen became ill, and he had a major problem with his eye. There was some kind of an infection, an injury. I don't remember what it was right now. But anyway, he said, I'm here. I'm doing all this filming. What the heck? Let me go and see if he can help me out with this situation with my eye, which was getting very, very serious. So sure enough, Rigo puts him up against the wall, jams the knife into his eye, does the twisting, turning, and all this stuff. And just thinking about it makes you get willy all over and the hair stand up back on your neck. And he is doing all of this. The cameraman feels no pain whatsoever. Not a bit. When Arrigo's finished with him, and typically there was a person there that would take down the prescriptions that this Dr. Frist that was working through him would give. And this is all happening. We're talking about something that's done in less than maybe less than 2 minutes. It's that fast. And so he gets away from there. One of the people that he works with takes and touches him and grabs him by his arm. And instantly he went into pain, and he screamed.
Wow.
And
wow.
He said they were stunned, but they had not paid attention to the fact that once someone was worked on, whatever it might have been, once they were worked on, nobody touched them. They left them alone. They had no pain. And this cameraman said, when I was touched, it was like something shifted, and I just knew excruciating pain. So
wow.
This was something that they remarked about because they said, we know something is going on here. We do not understand how, when he's doing it, there is an energy shift that creates a natural pain, you know, relief situation where there is none, technically. And also that there's no infection, that there are all of these different points of information about medications to be taken, and a lot of the medicines that were recommended, the average pharmacist would have just said, you're nuttier than a fruitcake. But there was a pharmacy right there in the town, and they'd fill them, and people would get well. It was not at all of a modality that many people today that would just even understand. And it's an incredible, incredible book. So when I found out about Josie's material, and again, I don't remember who made me aware of it, and then I was put in touch with her, and I had a chance to read her material, her book is really fascinating because the parallels between Arrigo didn't live very long. He worked, I guess, for about 7 years, full-time, and he had a terrible time. The authorities put him in jail. The people in medicine were upset with him because people were going to him. He really created a very disruptive environment, and there was a hospital that was being built at the time that Arrigo died, and he died of a heart attack. He was in an automobile accident, and all of it happened simultaneously. But he had told people that he was going to die. He told them exactly, you know, that he wasn't going to be around, but that the work would be carried on. But the hospital was being built because he said he could train people to do this. And then the spiritist groups were starting to work in the hospitals more frequently then, not unlike the energy healers of today in the United States that are working in hospitals, nurses being trained in this modality. All of these things are just really, really interesting. So John of God is very open. He doesn't try to hide anything. He's very much like Arrigo. And there's all kinds of good information in her book. So I recommend it because I think
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
This is wonderful. And I just looked at Amazon.com. You can buy that book up on Arrigo, available
on
Amazon.com.
Okay,
yes, you
great.
Can. Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You
Pleasure.
Have a wonderful evening now in Connecticut.
You too.
This is Donna
Thanks.
Siebel. I know we're running out of time. My goodness, there's just so much good stuff to share. And I'm so delighted that I'm able to be on all during the week. Now, don't forget the Northwest Women's Show, those of you in the Pacific Northwest, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And what I started to tell you earlier is that on Friday, I'm going to be doing a women's forum, and I have fabulous people, five absolutely awesome people that we are going to be showcasing, and I'll be interviewing them. They're going to be talking to you about health, some of them. We've got a woman that's an expert on dealing with the skin and acne and this type of thing, and then we've got a historian that's going to be there. We're going to be talking about forgotten American history, and then we've got an 88-year-old dynamic lady. She's an artist, and, oh, she's just incredible. So she's going to be with us, too. It's just going to be a wonderful weekend. So check it out on my website, DelphiInternational.com. We've got to go. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We'll see you here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.